listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
I wish I knew how many relationship problems start with this place of, I just don't feel it. Somebody says, you know, I just don't feel the passion. I don't feel like what I should. And so it's time for me to leave this relationship. When that happens, they're breaking one of what I consider to be the rules of the immutable rules or laws of marriage. We're in the middle of a series about these immutable laws, the ways that you can follow the laws and restore a relationship or break the laws and destroy it. So do you want to restore or destroy the relationship? This one is about love being what you do. Now, here's our problem. We live in a culture where love is an emotion. It's something we see in the books and we see in the movies and we hear in the songs about this deep feeling that needs to be there. And we watch so many times as the characters in a movie choose somebody because they have this strong feeling, and we watch it play out every week as a new bachelor or bachelorette chooses somebody because they feel this passion. Now, I am not against feeling passion. Let me be very clear that I enjoy the romantic feelings as much as anyone, but I think that we confuse that feeling with what love is. I believe that love is what you do, that it is the verb, not a noun describing a feeling. I think back on my training in Greek, and I can tell you that I can't speak it, but I used to be able to read it some. And I remember this. There are four very distinct understandings of love in Greek culture. They didn't have just one word where they say, I love. You know, we do that in America. We love food. We love this friend. We love a TV or a movie or a book, or we love a character, or we love our spouse, or we love our children. And we love. That's the only word we come up with. Sure, there are some other things we can throw in there, but basically that's what we say. I love this. Well, the Greeks would talk about four different types of love. They would talk about agape love. And if you're a churchgoer, you probably have heard that term used many times in church or any other religious place that comes from a Greek culture, because it's love that was described as the love that God might have for humans, that it has no bounds and that it is respective of what happens. It's unconditional love. Now, that word was also used around the idea of charity, because you do charity things not because you feel something for that other person, not because that other person has done anything or that group of people has done anything, but because you have something in your heart that says, I need to be a part of that. I have charity for that. So agape love is used to describe love from God to humans or from a parent to a child even. The unselfish way of looking for the best in the other person. It's really about that feeling of charity, of just loving because it's unconditional. Then they had this idea. Oh, and by the way, before I move beyond that, I don't actually believe in agape love between a husband and a wife. Now, I say that and I know it's a controversial thing. I do think it is something to strive for, but I don't think that husbands and wives actually can get to the place of loving the other person regardless of what they do. And that's agape love. Regardless of what the other person does, I'm going to love you. The reason is because over and over, when people have told me that that's what they're aiming for, I can find one place, something where if their spouse did that, it would be the end of the love. And so I know that it doesn't exist, and that's okay. It's something we can strive for. It's just not anything that we're going to find right now, right here. So then the Greeks also had the idea of phileia love. Phileia love is loyalty to friends. It's also a feeling of connection and family. Another term that's used for that, but Philadelphia is named as the city of brotherly love because phileia was brotherly love or sibling love or family love. It's also the feeling we have with friends, right? That we have this connection, this bond with them that is based in history and based in respect with each other and treating each other well, of loyalty, of choosing to be loyal. And then the Greeks had this idea of storge love, which is really about empathy. It's about understanding the other person, of being able to step and walk in their shoes and understand where they're coming from. It's an acceptance and willingness to put up with certain situations because you understand what's behind it. We all have somebody that we kind of, that's the lovable grouch or the person that frustrates everybody, but we still have that soft spot because we have an understanding. Maybe they came from a hard background and so we understand why they do what they do. It's an understanding based in this empathy. It's a love that's based in empathy. And then there is that love that we all talk about of eros, of feeling this romantic love, the sexual passion for somebody. And that's the problem. We reduce the feeling that should be in a marriage down to that eros, that romantic love. And if it's not there, obviously something's broken. But we always seem to put the cart before the horse. We want the cart, that feeling of eros, before the horse pulls it, the work of that, because love is what you do. Our culture sees the other loves out there that I named, but we always seem to focus on that eros, or more importantly, when there's a marriage problem, we focus on the lack of that passion, the lack of that feeling. And when it's not there, we say, oh, see, it's broken. I can't do anything. It's over. It's gone. Nothing can be done here. That's where I think we violate the rule. We violate the law. Bob Grant, a colleague of mine, and I, in another podcast, talked about the difference between adrenaline-based attraction and endorphin-based attraction. Adrenaline-based attraction and endorphin-based attraction. It basically is working on two different pieces, hormonal pieces in our body. Adrenaline, that's that charge you get, that excitement you get. You know, you can get it right before you jump on the Ferris wheel or the roller coaster. You can get it before you jump off a cliff or go for a skydive. Or you get it when there's that person that you want their attention. And that adrenaline gets that butterfly in your stomach. Those feelings of butterflies, those feelings of euphoria come from adrenaline. And by the way, adrenaline always has an edge of danger or fear to it. And that's an important thing to remember because we often feel that feeling at the beginning of a relationship when we feel there's some threat, some risk of losing that other person. And so it stirs up that adrenaline. And so adrenaline-based attraction is caught up in excitement. And excitement with those butterflies, what Gary Chapman talks about as the tingles. And those tingles are great. They feel great, but they can't last. And I would add, thank goodness they can't last, because if we all lived in that constant state of eros love, of adrenaline-based attraction, we would be all running around in that madly in love state. And by the way, that phrase, madly in love, turns out to be pretty true. When we look at the brain scans of people who are madly in love, it's registering in some of the same places that come up in mental illness, that place of excitement in the brain. We all have to settle down at some point and live a regular life. That's just the facts. And so our body is aimed at that. Over time, our body gets kind of used to that charge of adrenaline and it begins to calm down. Also, we make commitments that take away that risk feeling sometimes, and we have to move to another stage, and that's the endorphin attraction, the endorphin-based attraction. You have endorphins in your system all the time. Whenever you have that feel-good feeling, maybe you go for a long run and the endorphins kick in, or maybe you have something that's been hurting for a while and the pain goes away and it's replaced with endorphins. In fact, we happen to know that one of the reasons that people like me love hot peppers is because after you eat a hot pepper and you get the sensation of pain, your body releases endorphins, and that's a feel-good thing. That's where we get that feel-good. There's another place that we get that feel good. That's when we do something nice for somebody else. When we do something out of our own way to do good for somebody else. Think about when you go maybe volunteer somewhere and you leave that volunteer place and you feel really good about what's happened and about life. You just feel good. It creates an endorphin rush in your system. The same thing happens when you do loving actions towards someone. And that's the piece that's important here. When we create those loving actions, we're creating that shift. We're creating that endorphin-based attraction. So adrenaline feelings will shift, and they have to. And it can either be replaced by an endorphin-based attraction, meaning that you're doing the good things to build the relationship, to be loving towards the other person, or the relationship falters. So here's how we violate this immutable law of marriage. First, we think that infatuation feelings are supposed to be there all the time. It's if they're not there, then something is wrong. We believe that if we don't always have this gushy mushy feeling inside of us, that something's wrong, that the relationship is broken, that our spouse was not the right person, that we made a mistake, which leads to us either walking away from the relationship and or trying to find it somewhere else. You might stay in the relationship, but find somebody else that creates those feelings in you, or you might leave the relationship, or a spouse might leave the relationship and find somebody that does that. Many times I've had people come into my office and say, oh, this is completely different than my marriage. You know, my marriage has been dead. I don't feel anything inside, but I've got this other person and boy, they're making excitement in my body, that my body is telling me that's the right thing and it's nothing like my marriage. And I often pause them and ask, could you not compare it to where your marriage is now, but where your marriage started, where your relationship started? How does it compare to that? And many times a cloud goes across their faces. They realize that their marriage started at the same feelings they're now having for somebody else. That didn't mean when they left that something was wrong with the relationship, but it was wrong with their understanding of how you move forward. The second way that we violate this law is that we wait for the feelings to be there before we take action. And I see this many, many times where people say, you know, when those feelings come back, then I'll do these loving things. I'm waiting for that feeling to be there before I take action. In my Save the Marriage system, I talk about acting as if. And acting as if is not just playing and pretending. It's doing actions that lead you towards that feeling. That if you do loving actions, if you choose to do loving actions, it will move you back towards those feelings. But when we're just waiting for the feelings, we continue to violate the law because we believe that love is what you feel that causes you to do something instead of love is what you do that then leads to the feelings. Now, think back on the beginning of a relationship, and you'll probably notice that this was true even at the beginning of the relationship. That part of the way that love begins to build is because we're doing loving things towards the other person. You don't feel all gushy and then step into the actions. You see somebody and they're interesting. And so you have a conversation and that goes pretty well. And so then you decide to go out to dinner together and you maybe hold the door open or get dressed up for the other person or, you know, whatever it is, there's some action you're doing. And then maybe you buy a small gift for them or maybe you reach out and touch them. And what you notice is the actions are fueling the feeling. The actions are stoking the fire of that passion, that attraction. And so from the very beginning, that's the case. We just forget that and we are believing a myth that the feeling should lead to action, not the actions leading to the feelings. So how do you get back in line with this immutable law? Because if you fall for the other law, you're in trouble. If you fall for the violation of this law, that something is wrong with your relationship because you're not feeling it, then you're in trouble. So how do you get back to obeying the law? How do you get back to stepping into the law? First thing I would recommend is you grab a copy of Gary Chapman's Love Languages book. And if you're interested in that, you can also listen to a podcast I have with Gary Chapman about that. You can just do a search on my blog for Gary Chapman, and you'll find that where I talk with him about love languages. And we discuss how you get there, and we even propose a marriage experiment. You can find all that on my blog, but at least learn the love languages. Because what you're trying to do in those love languages is speak the actions that make the other person feel loved. And so it gives you a shortcut on how to get back to the place where you're doing the loving things that make a difference for your spouse. The second thing is to recognize that there are ups and downs of these emotions. We are not built to always be head over heels in love with another person. Our body can't stay at that level of arousal. We can't stay at that level of feeling. And because of that, there is going to be a wavelength up and down of the emotion, and that is entirely normal. There are going to be some days when you feel very passionate if you're doing loving things for your spouse, and there are going to be days when you don't feel so passionate, even if you're doing loving things for your spouse, and both of those are okay. The question is, are we building toward the relationship by doing loving things, by showing our love to our spouse, or are we waiting for the feeling to come so then we'll step back into that? So just recognize that there is an up and down, an ebb and a flow to those feelings. Which leads us to number three, choose to nurture the connection. When you're nurturing the connection, you're doing the loving things. That's how we nurture the connection. If you want to feel closer to someone, it makes sense that you would do things that pull you closer to that person, and that brings you back in line with the fact that love is what you do. It's not just how you feel. Now, this is not being about a life devoid of feelings, that you should go through your life never feeling any passion again. But it's about clarity, that feelings do not stay in a vacuum, that feelings require nurture, action, and commitment, that the feelings come out of your actions and not the other way around. You can't wait for the feelings to finally fuel the action. Fuel the action and watch as the feelings come back. Love is what you do. It's not just how you feel. The feeling comes from what you do. If this has been helpful, please share the word about this. There are ways on the website that you can very quickly just click and share this with other people on Facebook, on Twitter, on Google+. You can even do a little pin on Pinterest. Lots of ways of sharing. If you are not on the website, but you are on Twitter, you can just go to your mobile phone's browser and type in savethemarriage.com/love, savethemarriage.com/love, and it will create a pre-populated tweet that all you have to do is hit send, and it just says, I love Save the Marriage podcast, and it will help people find it. If you're listening on iTunes, it would be great if you would leave a review so others can find it because of that review. And if you need further help, please check out my Save the Marriage system at savethemarriage.com. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.